Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Live from Orlando, Florida, you're listening to the Orlando Magic HQ podcast, the voice of Magic fans. Join us every week for a unique fan perspective on all of the latest Magic news and updates. The show starts now.
What's up, Magic fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Orlando Magic HQ podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network and Bet Online, where your host Al, myself, Anthony. Today is Friday, January 26th, and in today's episode, with the trade deadline right around the corner, we thought it'd be a great idea to go over some of our OrlandoMagicHQ.com trade scenarios from our new writer, Angel, that I think would be a great way to start kicking off some of the things that we want to happen and kind of get our thoughts on some of the players that could potentially, you know, be on the market for the Magic to possibly look at. Who knows? We're also going to talk, how do we not talk about Patrick Beverly and his stupid comments that he had in regards to Wendell Carter and the Orlando Magic? It's always fun when we can poke fun at Pat Bev. And then we'll talk a little bit about this last week in review with some of the games that the Magic played in. But before we get into it, quick word from our sponsors, Bet Online. With NFL playoffs right around the corner and the NBA season in full swing, Bet Online has you covered with all the up-to-the-second odds, news, and scores. With additional odds, lines, trends, and info on both desktop and mobile, you can access the world's best wagering information anytime. Head there today to get into the action, see all the updated odds. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. Do not forget that we also have our Orlando Magic HQ Instagram subscription program that replaced our Patreon program. A lot of great Magic content that goes there. We talk to our subs on a daily basis, and we do a lot of external content as well. So if you want to be able to have or be part of a very tight-knit community where, you know, we talk basketball pretty often, man, it's not a bad deal, man. And it's a good way to, you know, kind of be again in that small community where, you know, you get a little more of a intimate conversation. So really good stuff happening there. And then, bro, let's get into the trade deadline, trade scenario. So, but before we get into it, the Orlando Magic HQ, we had some spaces, that was happening tonight. That was pretty cool that they were discussing some of the trade deadline wish list. Before we get into the trade scenario, Al, give me one scenario. Give me who is your number one. And I have a pretty good idea of who you're going to say, but give me your wish list. Who's the one player that you hope that the Magic might look at to bring in?
So I think being realistic, for me personally, it's Michael Brogdon.
I'm a genius.
I think that
I knew it.
Yeah. You knew it, right? It just makes sense, man. The guy is a vet. He's a shooter. He plays point guard position, which we need to upgrade. I think he's the one guy that's attainable. Shouldn't cost us too much. And would fit in right away with what we're doing in Orlando. I don't think it would be a drastic change in the locker room or on the court for that matter. So I think that's a guy to me that I'm like, if you can go after a player that kind of fits every kind of bucket that we need to fit, that are weaknesses for us today, he'll be that guy. How about you? Anyone comes to mind for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've mentioned it before. High on my list is definitely Anthony Simons. He is somebody that I am not only because he's a Central Florida boy, but because I think that he just fits the group so much. He fits the timeline. He can shoot from behind the 3-point line. He's a player that can drive us and support us offensively, who doesn't have to be your number one option, doesn't have to be the number two option, but can step up in those moments when you need them. I think that he would be an awesome fit. Here's our issue with both of our wish lists, is that we are talking about two players that that have dealt with injuries. It's just what it is, man. They're not players that we can rely on a day-to-day basis on top of the injuries that we're already dealing with. So just looking at Malcolm Brogdon, if you're taking a look at the last five seasons, last season was probably one of the better seasons that he's had in terms of health. But he played a total of 67 games last season, season before 36, followed by 56, 54, and then 64. So this is somebody that consistently, since he's been into league, outside of his very first season, has not played more than 70 games in his whole career. It was just his rookie season that he played 75. So when it comes to people that we want to integrate to this team, the Magic are in a very sticky situation. Because whatever their move may or may not be, it could really hurt this team. Like, it really, really can. Like, they can make a mistake and literally set this team back. That's part of the reason why, I wouldn't be entirely upset if the Magic did absolutely nothing. I wouldn't be upset at all. Like, take your shot at free agency. Like, wait. Continue, like, we still haven't seen what this team is fully capable of. We have not. The team has not been healthy for a long period of time. Wendell, Markel, like, Wendell is really starting to get to a point where now I'm kind of laughing at myself a little bit, saying, yo, were we really gonna get rid of Wendell and just kind of live with Goga? Like, what's wrong with us, right? But that's what happens when you start getting, your legs underneath you and, you start getting accustomed to the players that you're playing with and day-to-day basketball, and you start getting your rhythm back. And I think that, we've seen a little bit of that from Markel, not exactly, what we're used to seeing. And even when I say used to seeing, we're not used to seeing Markel Fultz on the floor anyways. So, there's a lot. Like, Cole Anthony recently just said that, we haven't seen the best of Orlando Magic basketball. Of course, he's also going to say that because the NBA trade deadline is right around the corner. What else is he really going to say? But, again, I wouldn't be upset. Would I be disappointed? Probably. Man, we're fans, man. Like, we cover the team as much as we can, right? But at the same time, man, we want to see actions. This is what NBA basketball is about, man. Being able to make acquisitions, transactions, like, that's the fun part of being a fan. But realistically, the fear is if you make the wrong move, you're going to hurt this team.
Yeah, man. And I think the biggest thing for me is that every team around us that we're competing against in the Eastern Conference has gotten better, has made a move to get better. So think about Indiana, right? They went after Siakam. You think about New York. They went after OG. Miami Heat just acquired Terry Rozier. So every team around us has made a move to stay competitive and stay, ahead of us in the standings. How do we respond? And that's kind of the thing that we have to figure out. It's like, do we want to just see this team as is, which we could? And I've said it before, we can just, to your point, wait things out. We can evaluate, in June, July, when we have cash to spend, we have picks to use. What do we do at that point? But if we have come to a point where we say, hey, man, like, we have a chance this season to make an impact, to make the playoffs. As of this recording, we're only one game back of Miami and Indiana for the 6th and 7th seed in the East. So we're right there. We're not far behind. If we can put it together, which, by the way, we have the easiest schedule remaining in the NBA. So if you can make a move that is a smart move, acquire the right pieces, we might finish, 6th in the East. And who would have thought that, back in October? I don't think many of us did, being realistic. So that's what the front office has to figure out. It's like, where are we? Are we truly trying to make a push to make the playoffs this season? And I don't mean to, like, go after a star player. I mean, like, adding the right pieces, adding a shooter, if Markel, you figure out, hey, there's something going on with his shoulder, he cannot figure it out, he cannot stay healthy, enough is enough. Do we pull the trigger now? Or do we wait until June to let him go? That's kind of what they have to wait. But let me ask for your reaction on that. You've seen every team around us get better. Does that make you want to make a move more? Or are you okay saying, you know what? It's okay. Let them do what they want to do. We can still evaluate what we have.
I mean, that's really my rebuttal, right? So if we can pump the brakes for a little bit, I know people don't want to hear this, but what if we're just not, that's not where the Magic want to be at, like from the front office perspective, like, yeah, if we can be in the sixth seed, fifth seed, like that, that's who doesn't want to be there, right? But if we're looking at natural progression, if we're looking at just from last season, getting better to the, if the goal was not necessarily to make the playoffs, but to be better than last season, the Magic have accomplished that. Not fully, but you can definitely say that we're on the right track for it, right? But to go from not making the playoffs to now making the playoffs, that is a huge, major jump, right? So, like, I'll put it to you this way. If the Magic don't make the playoffs, but we make the play-in, but we still don't make the playoffs, do you consider that a successful season, this season?
That was, I go back to our recording before the season, we did our season predictions, and that's what we wanted, right? It was to just make it to the play-in. That was the next level up for us.
So obviously we would be disappointed because the fan base, we look at what this team has, and I know that the front office would view it this way as well, in the sense where this team is good enough to make the playoffs. Hell, you can even debate that the Magic are good enough to make noise in the first round. Like I would argue that a team would be scared to playoffs in the first round because we're a little bit of a wild card. But if we're being 100% honest with ourselves, the predictions or what our expectations was, we're definitely playing. It's playing or fail. We go on a 9-game winning streak. We start winning games. Now it's a different perspective because now we kind of see what the team really is like when they're healthy. And we were also like second place in the East for a good time period. I feel like a lot of us, we got a little spoiled of our expectations. So, mm-hmm. And it's natural for us to change our expectations, right? Yeah, we're a playoff team. So now playing is considered, a disappointment or a fail. But I don't think that the front office views it that way. That's why I would not be surprised at all if we didn't make a move and they wait to go the safe route, which the Magic are known to do, and wait until the offseason, reevaluate, which we know that's in the DNA of the Orlando Magic front office, and then kind of work and build the team that way. And if a trade makes sense later on to boost the roster, then they do it that way. But a player that we've talked about that we want, that we like, has been a player in the name of Buddy Hield. But you take a look at his situation in Indiana, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. So the only reason why you would make a trade for a player like Buddy is if you think he is an absolute important puzzle to this team and you do not want any other team to have a chance at him. Like if you want a guaranteed adding that sniper to your arsenal, then you go out and you do it right now with the hopes that you can, you know, get him to re-sign, right? But the Magic got money to spend, man. They're going to be extremely convincing in the offseason. So do you give up assets now to guarantee and really try to push? Or do you play it out, see what you have with your team, pray that you can really get healthy, and then still try to make some noise at the end of the season? I think I wouldn't run it past the Magic front office that they would be okay with improvements. I'm not saying playing, I'm not saying playoffs, improvements from last season, and the Magic so far, they definitely have that.
I mean, the only thing that leads me to believe that there'll be a move to be made is the fact that Jeff has made a trade every single trade deadline since he got here. Right, it all started with the Terrence Ross trade, and now you fast forward to last year. There's always been a minor move, whether it's been trading for a second round pick like Mo Bamba last year, always does something. So I think we will do something. It may not be a Buddy Hield. It may not be a whoever may be out there. I don't know. I can't think of anyone that comes to mind. Tyus Jones. It may not be to that extent, but I think we do make a move. Just because I think the glaring issue with the team right now is shooting. Right, we know that's an issue. It's been an issue for a while, so I wouldn't be surprised. Because I think about a guy like Chuma Okeke. I think about a guy like Gary Harris. I think about a guy, heck, Markelle Fultz. These are guys that are free agents also for us in a few months. So if you trade them now with maybe a pick attached to it, you're not really giving up much. You're giving up a guy that you're going to let walk no matter what in a few months with the hopes of getting a guy to come to Orlando that you're going to retain. That's why I think they may make a move. Let me kind of link it all together too to what we heard this afternoon or this morning from Jake Fisher from Yahoo Sports. So he did mention in a podcast recently that the Magic have been linked to a lot of guards in recent months. He went back to talking about Dame Lillard. There was some interest there. I don't know if that was real or not. But he's been pretty accurate when he's talked about the Magic in the past. So he did say the Magic have been in the market for a guard, primarily a point guard. He threw some names out there. One that makes no sense to us is Lowry, which I don't think we would want him in Orlando no matter what.
That would be the most Orlando Magic thing ever.
If that happens, I'll have some issues, bro.
I'd laugh at the fact that everyone would instantly be a Kyle Lowry fan. Probably not.
Oh, my goodness.
It would be a crazy turn of events, 100%.
That would be hilarious.
If you thought Aaron Gordon didn't like us now.
Imagine. But another guy, too, is Mark Stein. Mark Stein has been, again, pretty close. He's one of the few reporters that I believe when he speaks about the Magic. And he's talked about, again, Markelle Fultz, Wendell Carter possibly being shopped. So there's smoke, right? There's smoke in the air. So there's something that, again, we may know that the Magic are trying to do. I just don't think it's going to be a major move if they make a move. I wouldn't be surprised if they go after, again, a shooter. Who that may be, I'm not sure. But with that being said, what do you think about Jake Fisher, those reports? You think there's any kind of truth behind them, or do you think they're just kind of guessing about what the Magic might do because of the glaring issues that we have?
Yeah, I mean, Jake Fisher's comments were that Damian Lillard's camp thought about the idea of Orlando, right? That's what he reported. Whether that's true or not true, I think that kudos to where we're at now, because for a player like in Dame's caliber, who is at the point of career where Milwaukee made the most sense, no matter what, the fact that there was even a moment of saying, huh, what about Orlando? Goes to show you that there's a difference in terms of respect factor for the Orlando Magic, which I think is awesome. It's cool. I'll put that as a feather in the cap and, you know, go along about my day. But in regards to like Kyle Lowry, let's be honest. Like Anthony Black, maybe you can debate best player available. You can debate thinking of the future of the Orlando Magic. There's obviously investment from the Magic for Anthony Black to be in the future of this team, right? So it would make sense to bring in, you know, a veteran point guard, you know, as a stopgap for a couple years, 2 years until he's fully ready. Like, I would not be mad at that idea whatsoever. Not the idea of Kyle Lowry, but the idea of bringing in a veteran point guard to be able to facilitate, man, just kind of be the quarterback, you know, grouping the guys together, being more organized, whatever the case may be. But, you know, if you bring in Kyle Lowry, like let's just use Kyle Lowry as an example. He's not better than Markelle Fultz. Markelle Fultz will eat him alive. Like that's not an upgrade. Like you would only do that move if Markelle Fultz is unhappy, if he really, really, really can't stay healthy and there's no chance of him doing anything positive on the basketball court. A move like that wouldn't make sense whatsoever, right? If you bring in somebody to be the point guard of this team, your starting point guard, he's just got to be better than Markelle Fultz. And right now, in terms of like vets who are out there. I don't know if there's really a player out there that I can guarantee will bring more to us than what Markelle Fultz could potentially bring to us once he really gets everything together.
So I think that's the problem. The key word you said there was once he got it together, right? Because the issue that many fans are having with him right now is the shooting has taken a major step back. Like, I don't think since he has been back from injury, we've seen him take a three-point shot. We haven't seen him take a deep mid-range shot. So some concerns, even the free throw form hasn't looked how it looked last season. So when you think about Paolo, think about Franz, you think about the fact that they need shooters around them. It's Markelle, that guy. I think we all love him. I think Markelle, again, has been a guy that we'll have rooted for. We want him to work out because, again, the potential is there. He is that playmaker. The concern is he doesn't fit in currently what we have built, whether it's, Wendell, Paolo, Franz, what we have become as our core. He, unfortunately, if he can't shoot the ball, at least a mid-range shot, it's tough to keep defending him. And then on top of that, he's a free agent this summer. So it's like, do we pay him again? I've said it before in our group chats and stuff. I would be okay bringing him back, but it would have to be for a role that is not a starting role anymore. It would have to be for a backup point guard role, just because the health hasn't been there. And again, the shoulder issue seems to be continuing. We've seen the tape during the games. We've seen, again, the form kind of go backwards. So it's tough. If you're trying to make, again, a playoff push, it's either you go all in on AB, which I don't think AB is ready today to be that guy that drives us to the playoffs. Jalen Suggs has proven that he's not a point guard. Major improvements shooting the ball, which is huge and great to see. But he's not a point guard, let's be honest. So that's where it's like, all right, we got to figure this out. And one thing that kind of sucks is the Magic to never make a trade around the trade deadline weeks ahead. They wait until the very last minute to pull the trigger. And my concern is somebody might beat us for a Malcolm Brogdon. The Knicks might get him first. Or Tyus Jones. Another team might go out there and offer a good deal in the next few days. So that's the issue that I'm having with the Magic. It's like, I get the whole waiting and evaluating all your options. But if you're sure this guy fits what you're trying to do and you make that decision, just go get him. We had 3 days off just this past week. Would have been a great time to pull a trade and get that guy into practice before you get back into action. Didn't happen. So February 8th, in my mind, is when something will go down, if something does end up going down. But in my opinion, honestly, man, I think the Markelle experiment can continue, but he cannot be the guy you depend on solely to be the starting point guard, because unfortunately we've seen it. And I mean, you mentioned Malcolm Brogdon's games played. Let's not even go to Markelle, because it hasn't been a good thing in the last, 3-4 years. So how do we count on him for the next 4 to 5?
Yeah, Markelle, listen, if he can be healthy the rest of the season, then you're in good shape. At the same time, if he's really going to be an unrestricted free agent, we don't bring him back, the Magic are going to be left with not a whole lot. I mean, Cole Anthony, you know what you have with Cole Anthony. I don't see him ever really getting back to a point where the Magic keep him at a starting position. And for the rest of his tenure, if I'm being 100% honest with you, I think that ship is long gone. I think that, his contract, we put him in a spot where we feel like he's best at, which is being a microwave straight off the bench. And he does great in that role. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the Magic are going to have to figure something out. It's whether it's now or in the off season. It's coming. We really just got to wait and see and figure out, see what that looks like. Is it February 8th? Who knows? Is it this off season? High likelihood. But let's get into some of these trade scenarios from our man Angel. So the very first one, which is really interesting because this is a player that has already been in the rumor mill in terms of him not being happy with his role and this team looking to get him shopped, which is Quentin Grimes. This is a player that, from behind the three-point line can really bring a lot of value in stretching the floor. So this trade scenario is the Magic trading Chuma Okeke and Gary Harris, which from a lot of fan-made trade scenarios, this is Batman and Robin right now. Like, every trade scenario has Chuma and Gary Harris together. So that's they're a good combo right now, right? So the trade would be Chumo, KK, Gary Harris for Quentin Grimes, Magic fan favorite, former Magic legend, Evan Fournier, and a 2024 second round pick via Miami. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I like Quentin Grimes. I think he's a healthier Gary Harris. He's younger. He does a bit of the same. He plays decent defense. He's a good shooter. Evan Fournier, not sure if he'll be happy to be back in Orlando, but if he can see the court, I think he'll be happier. In New York, he's barely playing. He saw some minutes recently, but I think it's because they are shopping him. So they were like, hey, he can still play basketball. But the good thing here is two guys that can shoot the ball. That would be the only advantage that I would see if we were to make this move. Not sure of the likelihood of it. I don't see the Knicks trading with the Magic. And again, I don't see Fournier wanting to come back to Orlando. Just my thoughts on that. But what about you?
I mean, Evan Fournier, like, let's take a moment. Evan Fournier loved Orlando. I think that he would welcome back Orlando with open arms. I also don't think that he's had a fair shot in New York because, hey, they're treating him like he's a scrub and he has no business being on the basketball court, which it's crazy. Disagree. I would also disagree with how much this guy is getting paid to do absolutely nothing. So he's still getting paid just this year, $18 million this year. Next year, he has a contract for $19 million, which is a club option, and then an unrestricted free agent in 2025. Man, Evan Fournier, man, he's still a 6'8" guard. And the part of the issue with the experiment of Evan Fournier and, or not experiment, the experience of Evan Fournier and the Orlando Magic is that we played all our guys during that time span not in the right position. Mm-hmm. Like, we service no one for Evan Fournier at times being our primary scorer, right? And here you're not asking him to do that. You're asking for him to come off the bench. And I believe that no matter how your feelings of Evan Fournier may or may not be, he could fit that role and he could fit that role well. Like I truly believe that. Am I begging and hoping and praying that it happens? No, I'm not. No. But I wouldn't be mad. I wouldn't be mad at all. Quentin Grimes, young player, shooting, man. It's what we need and what we're asking for. And if all you're giving up is Chumo KK, who has been underwhelming, but there's been signs of him playing a lot better with the opportunity. So, like, yeah, that might hurt a little bit. But Gary Harris, who can be extremely valuable, is invaluable because he can't see on the court. It's not his fault. It's just dealing with injuries. And that's part of the problem. We have too many players like that. And at some point, we need to be able to minimize, you know, the amount of injury prone players. Like, the Magic have to consolidate, man. It's just a reality. So this reminds me, eventually he's going to get to a point. It reminds me of kind of Game of Thrones, where you kind of can't fall in love with like the main character because the main character end up, you know, being lost. It's kind of what I feel like with this team. The consolidation is going to happen out, and I mean this outside of Paolo, Front, and Jalen Suggs. I truly believe that we're going to get a notification one day, and there's going to be players traded that we're not going to be happy about. If I'm being 100% honest,
I think if you're a Magic fan, you have to be ready mentally for that day because it's going to come, whether it's again in a couple of weeks or it is in this offseason or next offseason. It's going to happen. To your point, I've identified really four guys in my mind that you're like, all right, those kind of are our core pieces. And that is, again, Paolo, Franz, Jalen Suggs. You can throw in there whether it's Cole Anthony or Wendell Carter. But outside of that, injury-prone players, guys that we're trying to see if they fit in. Funny enough, I'll throw in there Mo Wagner just because the Franz combination and Mo Wagner is going to be here for a while, in my opinion. But outside of that, you have another 10 roster spots to kind of play with that can be built around that core. But let's see what happens.
Yeah, and I just want to mention this real quick. I don't see Wendell Carter Jr. being moved at all. Like, I really don't. To me, right now, it wouldn't make sense. You can argue that, you know, we saw a lot of great things with Goga, and that highlighted a lot of things that prove that, you know, this team could play with a different type of big man. And I think that that's really what stood out. At the same time, it's just so hard. There's nobody that's going to give you more value for your dollar than Wendell Carter. And the front office knows that. I know that there was some frustrations, or it seemed like there was some frustrations from Wendell Carter, of him not really seeing the floor as they transition him back, you know, into the lineup. But I'm pretty confident that that's kind of gone away now that, you know, he's been impacting the game a lot more.
Yep, he's back. He's back in the starting lineup. He's looking good. Again, I think teams are preparing better for Goga. In the last few weeks, he wasn't as productive anymore because they were game planning for him. And I think that impacted things quite a bit. His plus minus, you could see that impact kind of was more diminished in recent weeks. Here comes Wendell again. And the guy's averaging, I don't know, 18 points, 9 rebounds again. So you're kind of seeing that impact that Wendell can have. The issue with Wendell, like many others in our roster, is can he stay healthy?
Yep. This next trade, Magic trade Markelle Fultz, Gary Harris, and a 2026 second round pick via Denver for Gary Trent Jr. and Dennis Schroeder.
So we know the Raptors have been selling players left and right. They're going to be entering a rebuilding stage here pretty soon. It makes sense, right? So Gary Trent's a guy that many Magic fans on Twitter, we've seen on X, that like him. They like the fact that he's a shooter. He plays still some decent defense. Dennis has some history with Germany and playing with Mo and Franz. So I kind of like that pairing a little bit. So this is a trade that, again, I wouldn't mind it one bit. It would suck to see Markelle go. We've talked about it at length in this episode. But if you're determining, hey, the time has come, we got to make the move, I wouldn't hate the return, if you ask me. What about you?
I wouldn't mind it. Again, this is somebody that we're looking at as a stopgap. Dennis Schroeder, you bring him in for a couple years. If you really like the dynamic of you know, Franz, Mo, and Dennis, yeah, that seems all right. I wouldn't be mad at it at all. I think that people will welcome him with open arms. But again, this is another player that, you know, has struggled with injuries in the past. Like, this is ongoing, and this is, like, let's be honest, man. It's reality of the NBA. Players get injured. 82 game season. Not every player is going to be, you know, Mikal Bridges. It's not what it is. Like, it just isn't. So, you know, it would be an interesting look at. But that, again, that would only be, like, obviously, if you're trading Markelle Fultz, you've made the decision that Markelle is not a part of your future. And bringing in a player like Dennis and Gary Trent, you know, that's something that I would definitely consider. I'd give that one a thumbs up, give it a green light.
Me too. I wouldn't mind that one bit.
All right, this next one, this is a name that we've heard continuously so far during the trade rumor mill. The Orlando Magic trade Markelle Fultz. What's up with your boy Angel trading Markelle Fultz left and right? Markelle Fultz and a 2025 Denver first round pick and a lottery protected future Orlando first round pick for Tyus Jones and Corey Kispert.
Listen, talk about snipers, talk about point guard playmaking. That would solve a lot of issues in one trade. I kind of like this one because Markelle gets to go back home and he loves playing in Washington. We've seen that happen where he just balls out when he goes back to Washington. So this could be a good move for him, right? To play with, you know, Jordan Poole and Kuzma. Like, you never know. Maybe he finds his rhythm out there and revives his career even more with the Wizards. Only thing with this trade is I think the Wizards would want a lot more. I think it wouldn't be enough to just trade for Markelle and two picks. I think Kispert alone is a guy that has a lot of value in the league. He's a sniper. He's a Buddy Hield kind of developing into that kind of level. So if you ask me, you may have to throw Mo into this trade. I don't know if that means Jet Howard. I don't know if that means some other type of picks into the deal. But if you can land Tyus Jones and Corey Kispert, you're landing yourselves, again, a playmaker, which you need, and a shooter, which you need. So this will solve a lot of issues.
Man, if we can reunite Corey Kispert and Jalen Suggs, you do it. I think that would be a really, really fun tandem to watch. Just reignite that whole Gonzaga feel, man. I think it would be super awesome. But yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, Washington, they would definitely want more. At the same time, man, you go in there and go for the kill while the Wizards are down right now, man. They just announced that they got rid of their coach. Well, not really got rid of him. He's transitioning into a front office role that I find kind of weird. Like,
yeah.
Hey, Wes, listen, it's not working now. I think we're going to transition you to the front office, which on the flip side, I guess is kind of cool because, you know, his dad was a big part of the Washington Wizards. Or the Bullets organization. So I think that that's part of the reason why they still made sure that they found a home for him, especially because, you know, he just signed that contract not too long ago. So they're still going to pay him. So if they're going to pay him, then, you know, they'd rather him keep working, right? And like the Milwaukee Bucks, that they're paying three coaches at one time. Ridiculous.
Makes no sense.
But yeah, man, I wouldn't mind. I like that look. I think that Mark Hill would definitely welcome something like the Wizards. Because it's close to home. It would be something that, again, I think that the fan base would like. They would definitely want more. Question is, are we willing to give more? And what does more really look like?
That's the question, right? Because if they ask for a guy like, again, Anthony Black, just because he's a rookie, or Jet Howard, are you comfortable doing that to kind of take on these two guys? That's tough. Not Anthony Black for sure. I think he's part of the future of this team. Jet Howard, he's looked really, really good in the G League. So, like, again, is he part of your future? Are you trying to open up minutes for him next season? So, a lot of question marks around the team. But this is a trade that if you can get it, again, you're getting that sniper and you're getting that playmaking point guard that could play next to Jalen Suggs, next to, you know, Paolo Franz. Like, he fits in. He's a great shooter, too. So, this would be a move. And I can see this being realistic also because we know our front office. They like to trade guys to places where they're going to be comfortable, where they feel good going to. And again, Markel going to Washington would be that place, in my opinion, way more than, you know, Portland or whatever it may be. Or has Jeff finally decided to be, you know, hey, I'm done being nice. We're building a team here now. We're sending you to, I don't know, Minnesota. Who cares? We're just making the move that's best for us. Are we at that point? I mean,
Minnesota wouldn't be too bad. They're doing okay.
I'm thinking of like cold weather and like totally different setting for him, but at that point.
You sent him to Minnesota and you're throwing him to the wolves.
Oh,
see what I did there? That's a good one. See? Put a lot of thought to it. yeah, man. I think that the Magic are at a point where, like, you can't, like, you try to protect, you know, your players as much as possible. You want them to end up in a good situation, but we gotta get to a point where, you know, we're being selfish, man. Like, we just
gotta be.
Like, Terrence Ross was a different situation where we kind of just let him go and let him decide, right? And hopefully that bought us a lot of respect around, like, locker rooms and whatnot. But at the same time, man, the Magic, we gotta get better. We can't put every single person in the best situation. Like, we gotta think about us, and we gotta think about what benefits the Orlando Magic. Like, exactly. At the end of the day, like, the name on the front of the jersey should outweigh the name on the back of the jersey, at least to an extent. Like, there has to be a balance, but the balance needs to sometimes wave in the favor of, you know, the team itself. All right, one more. So this is one that we've already kind of touched base a little bit on. Angel has Malcolm Brogdon for Gary Harris, Chuma Okeke, a 2028 second round pick via Laker or Washington, 2026 second round pick via Detroit and or Milwaukee. So, I wouldn't be mad at Malcolm Brogdon. Again, you definitely have some concerns there in regards to the injuries. Gary Harris and Chuma Okeke, you know, they're contracts that, you know, you're able to utilize to be able to make things happen. So who knows, man? A lot of great, Angel did a really great job with this article. He had a total of 10 different trade scenarios. So if you haven't already checked out the article on OrlandoMagicHQ.com, whether you are stuck at a red light because you don't want to read that while you're driving, break at work, school, whatever the case may be, give it a second, OrlandoMagicHQ.com, and check out the article.
Yes, sir. Again, some good articles, some good traits in there. Some that we were like, that would be a dream scenario. Like, he had in there, you know, Trae Young as a potential trade. That would be awesome. I don't think there's any kind of chance that happens, at least not this season, maybe in the future, but definitely check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, bro. So let's real quick just kind of touch base on this week in review. A good amount of games since we last recorded. We missed out last week, but we had a total of about seven games, more so or less. Lost against Miami, lost against Oklahoma City, a really nice win against the New York Knicks, lost against the damn Atlanta Hawks, man. They're a little, man.
That was rough.
Yeah, super tough. Super tough. Loss against Philadelphia. Just a quick touch before we talk about the other games. Just when it comes to Philadelphia, Patrick Beverley, man, like what is his issue? I really feel like this guy is super sour about the Magic waving him. Like there's just something about him being waived that didn't sit right, which honestly I respect. I respect the fact that he doesn't like the Magic because he got waived. Like he didn't feel like maybe a part of him was a little excited. I'm going to be in Florida. Great climate, great weather, no state taxes. Like it sounds like an amazing idea, right? I can go in there. They need point guard to be able to mentor the other point guard, whatever it was that he thought, right? And the fact that we didn't even want, like, don't even get on the plane, bro. Just
Stay
we're
away.
gonna wait. Just stay out there, right? I think he was really butthurt about it. I really do believe that because every chance he gets, he tries to find a way to talk smack about the Magic. And honestly, what I find a little funny, right, is that those that are listening to the podcast, those that interact with us on social media, those that talk about Orlando Magic basketball on Twitter, IG, Facebook, wherever it is, the Magic fan base has started to get a little reputation, right? Which is super cool because you're starting to see that our words collectively as a group have power, and it's starting to piss people off, which I think is awesome. Eddie House was the first example of that. Now we're seeing a little bit of Patrick Beverley. But Patrick Beverley pretty much stated, after unfortunate loss against the Magic, unfortunate loss against Philadelphia, pretty much stated he brought out a tweet that said, "Belt to ass tour, thanks Orlando, way to show up." And then uniquely in the press conference post game, Wendell Carter was asked about it, and Wendell Carter, just to kind of summarize it, says, "No one's worried about Patrick Beverley. And we're just not." He dropped what, five points? Like he didn't impact the game. And good for you.
That's all he said.
That's it.
And
That
that
literally.
That created chaos in Pat Beverley's mind. That was like disrespectful towards him. That was a loser mentality for Wendell to have.
Yeah, he used that sound bit, the sound bite for his podcast, which was cool, I guess. And that was it. That was it.
So where this kind of gets a little more dramatic is the fact that now we're finding out there are some reporters, including actually our own Brett James, that witnessed this, that reporter that asked that question, it all started with Brandon Kravitz on social media this morning saying, "I don't recognize that voice. Like I know all the voices that are there in that room that are Magic media writers, whatever maybe coverage for the team. So I don't recognize that voice." And then someone replied indicating, "Hey, I was there. I can attest to the fact that that was a planted reporter that was sent there by Pat Beverley to ask that question to Wendell Carter." So it kind of don't make sense now. It was all done to get a soundbite out of it. Again, Brett James confirmed this as well for us. So it's just weird, man. It's corny, if you ask me. You're trying to get more views, more likes on your podcast. So you're kind of trying to get this soundbite out of Magic players. But to your point, I don't get the obsession with Orlando. It also went back to when we were talking about early in the year with Pat Bev's and his podcast about Paolo and Franz being ranked, I think, the 40s in the NBA.com's player rankings. And he's like, they shouldn't be there. They haven't made the playoffs yet. And he keeps taking shots and shots and shots at Orlando for
every
no
chance he
reason.
gets.
So it's weird. He's a weird guy as it is, but this is a new low for me in my eyes. Like, how do you go to an away team's press conference to get a soundbite for your podcast? That's really dumb in my mind.
Yeah, so that Philadelphia game was not a pretty one. But We ended up getting Franz Wagner back the following games against Miami and won 105-87. And then just a brutal loss immediately after to the Cleveland Cavaliers that didn't have a lot of their key pieces. So truthfully, I was really glad that we were able to have this really long break. We take on, who is it, Memphis next. So it's good that we were able to have this long break. We have players that, you know, are still banged up, and hopefully they're able to get some of this time to be able to rejuvenate, get some rest, and hopefully we got some fresh legs as we take on, you know, the rest of these eight games before the NBA trade deadline. And what's interesting, as I'm looking at the schedule, the Magic end up playing against the Spurs at 7 p.m. on trade deadline day. So it's going to be an interesting day if the Magic do end up doing something, because they got to go to work, man. It's just what it is.
That's right.
The Magic do face the San Antonio Spurs for the first time on January 31st. That'll be our first time that we will take a look at number one pick from last year versus number one pick from this year. Surprisingly, there's not going to be a whole lot of hype around it. And I swear, if I see any, I'm talking about any highlights of Victor Wembanyama doing something simple and it goes viral, I'm going to drive myself crazy. Like, I really am. The amount of love that this guy gets still confuses me. It doesn't. I understand it, but I just don't like it. It's just what it is.
Yeah, man, it's sickening to a point. All the love that he's getting, all the attention, and again, Paolo had a historic. We've talked about this before. Paolo had a historic season last year. None of that. Having a great sophomore year doesn't matter. No national TV games for you. Nobody cares about you. So I really hope they go to San Antonio next week and put on a show.
Yeah, but
Paolo has some highlights against Wemby, because that would be ideal for us. I keep saying, why are we not getting any attention?
I need Paolo to put his shoulder down and just big body move. And I need some type of flex. I need extra energy. That's what I need. I need extra energy, because they have disrespected Paolo's rookie season by talking about Victor Wembanyama all year long. So
yep,
it's going to be an exciting game to watch. The Magic have Memphis tonight, Phoenix on Sunday, Dallas on Monday, followed by the first San Antonio game on that Wednesday. So talk to me. Predictions, next four games.
I will say to you, and Magic fans that are listening to this, the schedule does get easier. We see Phoenix there. We see Dallas, kind of scary, tough games. But things get a little bit easier heading up into February and March. So definitely looking forward to that. This week ahead, you got to find a way to win at least two games, right? You got to beat Memphis at the very least tonight. You got to beat San Antonio. If you can steal one against Dallas and Phoenix, or Phoenix, so go 3-1, that would be ideal. But in my mind, if you can go 2-2, I'll be perfectly fine with that. Adding to the week ahead, also don't forget, next Thursday is the announcement of the All-Star reserves. So Paolo Banchero hopefully will be an All-Star next time that we record next week. So definitely looking forward to that.
Yep. I think we, at minimum, will be 2-2. Like, Memphis on paper, that should be a game that we win. San Antonio on paper should be a game that we win. Phoenix, definitely going to be a fun game. There's a lot of respect from Kevin Durant and Paolo and Booker and them. So hopefully that would be a fun competitive game. You have the Slim Reaper versus the Slim Preacher. So it'll be a cool duel. You like the nickname, right? Just came up with it on the fly.
Man, we'll see when.
I know, right? We'll see what ends up happening, man. There's still a lot of time. I believe as we get closer and closer to February 8th, that we'll start to hear some more things happening. We'll start to hear a little more smoke before we start seeing the fire. So, on that note, I appreciate everyone for listening. It is a wrap. And remember, the show is presented by Bet Online. If you feel like wagering, that's your place to go. And that note is a wrap. Catch you guys next week.
For all the latest Magic news and updates, visit OrlandoMagicHQ.com and follow us on Instagram at OrlandoMagicHQ and on Twitter at OMagicHQ. Also, remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel and subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite listening platform.
Vacation starts with VA. Whether you're feeling beachy, mountainy, or every-y in between, you'll find all that you love all in one trip to Virginia. Start yours at virginia.org.